Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
And they say I'm Sarah.
They do. They do. And this is a little bit of an unconventional episode this week. You're getting the two best people in houses. No, but really.
But seriously.
No, it's just Sarah and I today. We split up our December a little bit because, as a lot of people know, December gets a little wild and crazy and hard to, you know, get together. And so here we are.
Well, what the real reason was because Swish and Flick is divided between the Petruses and the O'Malleys. And there's been fighting. They think that they're better than us, but we know the truth. It's really us.
O'Malley rules. No, but in all seriousness.
No, no. We're just...
It's just...
Spending more time with family just because it's Christmas time. So it was easier for them to record an episode and us in between the Sorcerer's Stone and the Chamber of Secrets. Kind of break it up, do something different.
And we are starting Chamber of Secrets super soon. Yeah.
Next weekend, you guys will hear our first episode on it. Also, happy Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing today? Anything fun? We're going to go see Star Wars again.
A Star Wars!
Which could lead us into our news for the week.
Yeah, let's dive into our weekly prophet here, and I guess I'll just let Sarah take it.
Well, it has nothing to do with Harry Potter, guys.
Literally nothing.
So, Star Wars, we saw it. It came out on the 15th. We saw it on the 15th. Doesn't have much to do with what I did.
But it has everything.
So that was Friday. Saturday had a Christmas party. It was a little bit of a bust, but we still had fun. And then on Sunday, I went to brunch at my cousin's house, and we had a few mimosas, maybe like two, three. And as we all know, I have a couple of tattoos. So does my cousin. We tend to make bad decisions sometimes when we're together. The one time I went and got my septum pierced, and she got underneath her tongue after brunch.
Do either of
common
you...
Common themes.
Does she... You, I know you don't still have yours.
No.
Does she?
She took her piercing out within a week.
These are good choices.
It happened in March, and I took mine out in June. And, like, it was just because I never wore it down. A lot of people hated it. My mother hated it. Like, she wouldn't talk to me if I had it down. It was end of June when... I'm like, I'm just going to take it out because and besides the fact that I could never wear it down because one of the balls was missing off of it, like that screwed into the thing.
In case you don't know, this is like a bull ring.
Yeah, like in your nose, like where your septum is.
People don't know what a septum is, though.
Well, like that's just what it's called. Like
I know, but I don't think a lot of people know that.
Well, It's the one that's inside of your nose that comes out. It looks like a bowl ring.
Looks like a bowl ring.
And then for a long time, I'm like, God, I really miss it. I wanted to get it back. And then I looked back at pictures and I was like, no, I really did look stupid. I love it on other people. I think there are some people out there that look fantastic with it.
I agree.
It's a great look.
I agree.
Just not for me.
Yeah. Okay, so bring us to your news.
So we decided to, and when I say we, it was really me. I was the one, and I think it was the other time when I said, let's go get piercings.
So it's you, really. That's the bad influence.
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, we should get a tattoo. And she's like, well, what would we get? And I had talked about getting a semicolon tattoo for a long time.
Mm. Explain what that means to people who don't know.
Well, it's basically kind of like talking about people. And I myself have never been suicidal, but more so for people that have felt like this is the end. Like, it's kind of, you can end a sentence with a semicolon, but like you're not ending it where you can keep going kind of thing. So it's like an end with a new beginning-ish. Is that a good way to explain it?
Yeah. It's hopeful.
Yes. So that's why I wanted that. And then I should get a BB-8 tattoo.
Because, BB-8's great.
So
that rhymes.
Yeah. I sent Tiffany a picture of, and I wanted it to be simple, and I wanted it just to be the outline, as in like circle, like a little half circle and an antenna.
So, and me being me was like, oh my gosh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Not thinking she's just going to do this today.
So she texted her friend. We go to this tattoo place. He is a tattoo artist. He's tattooed her for 10 years. Mind you, she only has four. So like in the span of 10 years, he's tattooed her now four times. It cost me $60 total for these two tattoos. And let me tell you, they're not great.
Tell them the name of.
Oh, so he's not, since he's not, I mean, you look at him from far away, he looks fine, but like you look up close and you see how bad it is.
It's not great, you guys.
At least he looks like himself. You know
that's
what I mean?
True. It does resemble like, BB-8.
It needs a lot of work.
The lines, guys, the lines.
It's so bad. And it is just the outline, but like, all I wanted was like the circle, half circle, like body, head, antenna, basically. Mm-hmm. But he did the inside.
Yeah.
And I sent a picture to Megan and Katie and Tiffany, and Megan's like, well, you could just get it covered up easily. I'm like, I don't want some huge thing because it's on my ankle. A huge thing on my ankle.
We're trying to figure this out.
So, I mean, it's there. I'm going to wait till it heals to do anything
about it. And the name of the tattoo is?
Oh, it's BB 1.5.
BB 1.5.
But he is cute.
He's not quite a BB-8.
Yeah, that's
it. Is it, I mean,
think about
it's cute.
Stuff
it's just
when you need for a long time.
Right,
so I can now say that I have three nerdy tattoos, two Harry Potters and a Star Wars. Sounds like a good movie. Like three weddings and four weddings and a funeral. Two Harry Potters and a Star Wars,
starring Sarah.
This is just my life. I make a lot of poor choices sometimes, and you know what? Stuff happens.
It's all right. You'll live.
Well, yeah.
You're turning my chair.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to turn myself.
We are at a new location today. We are at my house, Tiffany's house, in case you didn't know this was my voice. We're just changing the locale up a little bit. Going to be recording here from now on. Mm-hmm. Getting a setup going, and we're overtaking half of my husband's man cave. But he gave it up willingly. Thank you, Marty. So you might hear a Fozzie Bear bark every now and then because he's loud and proud.
And it's his house too.
It is his house too. So we have to be respectful of the Foz. All right. So
wait, before we go on, I will just say about the tattoo. I don't feel bad about it. So don't you feel bad about it?
Yeah. How does Florence feel about it?
Florence thinks it's wonderful.
She would.
Oh gosh.
All right. So this episode is going to be about our favorite Harry Potter things. We thought we'd do a little bit of a personal episode. I know Megan and Katie did some Katie's fan fiction last time. So that's epically personal to share your own fanfic. So
yeah.
We're going to get into favorite book, movie, actress or actor, and some favorite creatures. So that's what we will be doing today. And our first topic is our favorite book and essentially why and what we love about it. So
do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I would love for you to go first.
I really like the Order of the Phoenix. I like them because I really like the last three probably the most. I mean, the first one is like so classic and iconic, and you know, you're first getting into learning everything. And but I am the type of person where I like drama, and you get drama in every book. Like,
yeah, you do. You do.
But dark stuff. Like, I'm always, my friends joke around with me that I love sad songs and I like sad stuff. And
it's true.
Like, one of my favorite movies is Atonement, which is a sad movie. I've
never seen that movie.
It's very good. I recommend. So like, I like that it's darker. I like that you start seeing, you know, real aspects, because like essentially they're going into war, and like you see that, you know, this bad guy's coming back and he's screwing stuff off. I'm trying to say this without swearing. And you really get to see, you know, the characters are growing up, and they're dealing, like, especially with Harry in the fifth one, he's dealing with so many emotions and he's becoming so angsty because he's so mad. And I loved reading that as a kid. Like, you really get to see more of an emotion, and you see him growing up. And not only is he's not growing up in a normal way anyways, he's growing up where he has a crappy home life. And, you know, now there's this guy that's back and he's trying to kill him. Like, that's Voldemort's goal, is to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So not only he has that crappy home life, so there's a guy trying to kill him.
Not only just a guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Multiple and he's got people. An army of people that want to do harm to him. And then you see him like kind of grappling with the fact that you don't see someone that he's looked up to so much with Dumbledore, and he kind of is like out of the picture where he doesn't talk to him, and he's
on purpose.
Yeah. And he finds out that his friends weren't allowed to talk to him all summer long. And like, that just makes him more angry. So you can only imagine like what a 15-year-old boy is going through.
Plus teenage angst.
Yeah.
Hormones.
Yeah.
Dude. I don't know.
And then Umbridge, throw her in the mix. And there's times where, like, I hate her more than I hate Voldemort. Mm-hmm. And you see that whole aspect of it. It's just,
I think you also, in that book, you see, so Prisoner of Azkaban kind of, like, made you appreciate Fudge. Because, you know, we're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, he's doing underage magic, he's going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And Fudge is like, ain't no thing, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And then in this book, we see how government cannot be so great.
Yeah.
And how it's corrupted.
Well, especially because I'm agreeing with you. Like, you see that they know that, and they all know Voldemort's back. Like, it's happening. Like, it happened the time before, like all those years before, and
cover ups.
Yeah. It's, they're covering it up, and they're saying he's a liar. So he's getting it from all aspects where he, you know, now House of Hiz, like, all of the media being like, oh, Harry's a liar, Dumbledore's a liar.
Yes.
And then you see, like, people at school being like, well, who am I supposed to believe? Like, what my mom's telling me at home, or, like, what we're reading in the papers. And
Seamus.
Yeah, like, and you see all of that.
Yeah.
The poor kid. Like,
I mean,
can't catch a break.
Let's take that media approach and just think about what's happening in our world today.
Yes.
Hashtag fake news, blah, blah, blah. You know, we have such crap going on with our media, and you know this source skews it this way, this source skews it the other way. Mm-hmm. Wizarding World has what, like, one source, because people don't believe the Quibbler.
Yeah.
So they're being fed this story, and they have no other choice than to maybe believe someone who thinks Harry is all right, because that's what they think and that's their opinion. Or this news source that's been around for God knows how long. Like, think about that, how that would be so tough as just like a regular wizard or witch living in the world. You know, what are you going to believe?
Yeah. And that's your only news source.
And you're supposed to trust them, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, like, it makes me,
so
like,
you do like the saddest book. Because when I think about this book and this movie, it's not, obviously, I love them all and they're very good, but it doesn't range as like one of my favorites because it pisses me off so much.
Yeah. Well, and you even see like you were going back to the third book and how, or even the second one, either one, where he was doing underage magic in it, that was in the second one. And then in the third, where he blows up Aunt Marge, and how they're like, oh, don't worry about it. And then he, saves, Dudley. Why could I not think of his name?
Well, you did it. It's fine.
Oh, my gosh. So where he saves Dudley from the Dementors, and they're like, why would there be there? And he's getting questioned, and they now they don't believe him when, like, they know. Like, how do you not know that there's Dementors going around? Like, you're, again, covering it up and, like, trying to act like... Like, what
oh, they know. Happened? Oh, they know.
But, like, what would have happened if Dumbledore hadn't have been Dumbledore and been there on early? Like, you know what I mean?
I think Harry would have been expelled.
I know, but, like, think of how crazy that would have been. Like, what would have been the outcome? Like, Voldemort would have won. But, like, I don't know. It's crazy.
I think something would have happened. I mean, he would have gotten some kind of thing from Dumbledore, whether it's, like,
secret magic lessons,
private training, yeah. But like, and then you have to think about how they treated Fig.
Yeah.
Do you like figs? Have you had one? No, but like, you know, we just see how, like, because she's a squib, her story's crap. You know, they don't care.
Well, that goes back to like the whole they don't. Squibs, I feel like, don't have a major part in the wizarding world, which we know.
Oh, definitely not. Like, especially after that article we read on Pottermore.
Yeah.
They don't care. Hello, Foz.
Use your words.
Got the Fozzie Bear here.
It's just...
Yeah.
It's insane. It's a sad story. So every book is kind
of
sad.
Oh, all of them are definitely, you know? Yeah, definitely sad.
And I like me a sad story.
Sad stories with Sarah.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So my favorite book is... I struggled with this, you know, even from when we started this podcast. I believe in our first episode, I was grappling between Sorcerer's Stone and Deathly Hallows. And I think I can firmly say now it's definitely Deathly Hallows. I think my favorite part of this book is just the storytelling and how everything just comes together to complete the puzzle. I love finding out, you know, who people are. I like learning. I mean, as much as it kind of like hurt to hear, but learning about like Dumbledore's kind of like seedy past and Grindelwald and, you know, their relationship. I mean, we learned like a little bit about it. Side note, I really, really, really would like The Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore written.
I agree.
Like, she already has like a bunch of chapters of it. Like, even if after all of the Fantastic Beasts movies, it would be a perfect time to release that like mini book, do it as an ebook, whatever. Like, I would love that.
Yeah. Dear Joe.
Dear Joe.
We know you're listening.
She is.
We know you're a regular on the podcast. Every always. Sunday.
But I just love, like, you get to learn so much more about Harry and Hermione's friendship. You get to see, you know, Ron's redemption, because we all know his flaws. Like, his flaws are out there. Everybody knows them, especially seen in, you know, starting in four, really, like big time.
Yeah.
When Harry gets chosen as the second champion. But I love seeing his arc.
Yeah, I agree.
He grows up so much in these books from being a kid who, you know, is kind of low on the totem pole in his family to being Harry Potter's sidekick and second to Harry. And, you know, he's with genius Hermione. And then he comes and has such an important part, you know, destroying Horcruxes and taking down the darkest wizard of all time. I don't know. And I love the tale, like the Deathly Hallows tale. I love that the death stick is real and it has a bloody history. I guess I'm a little gross.
No, I think it's great.
You're sad and I'm gross. Like, and how people were like, you know, we were asking each other, what are you looking forward to most out of Fantastic Beasts? And what do you hope to see? The crimes. I want to see all the terrible things.
Yeah. Like, don't leave anything out.
What does that make me as a person? That I want to see all the terrible things.
But you also love watching like war documentaries. That's what you love to do.
Yeah. If you don't know that about me, I recently went to Gettysburg over the summer and, kind of solidified my love of history. I mean, I've always loved history.
Yeah.
World War II history. I'm always watching it. History Channel, please start doing more history things again. You shouldn't just be a crappy reality show channel. But anyways, yeah, I love those war docs, that new Ken Burns ones that was about the Vietnam War. That was really good. Side note, you should watch it.
Yeah. And see, now the documentaries I like to watch are usually ones that are involving really sad stories and like people struggling, and which, I mean, you get that with war too, but like,
oh yeah, I get what you're saying though. So yeah, I mean, and obviously I love the Deathly Hallows. I have it on my body. Like, I love it that much. I mean, you have it on your body, so it's gotta be who?
What?
Huh?
I have no tattoos.
She has zero tattoos and zero crappy ones. No, I just, there's just something about that book. And I remember when I was reading it for the first time. So I went and I got it at midnight and I had to work the next day, and I read like a ton of the chapters and was sobbing when Hedwig died. You know, I can't remember where I had to stop. And then, you guys, I faked being sick at work the next day so I could go home and read. But I read until like 2 a.m. that first night, and then came home and finished it. And I mean, just crying the whole time.
Yeah.
And when you figure out, you know, exactly what Dumbledore knew or suspected, and his guesses are usually correct. And, you know, when he goes to the King's Cross and you're like, he's not really gone. And then you realize like the protection, you learn about Snape's memories. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh crap, he's not a bad, you know, he's an a-hole, but he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
I just love how everything's complete. And honestly, some people have said that the book is rushed, whatever. I don't think that at all.
I mean, if I could be completely honest, and I think a lot of people would say this, if she'd never stopped writing, I would be okay with it. But at the same time, you have to have like an ending, like the book has to end.
And it was always going to be seven.
And if she was going to go more in depth, like, the books would be huge. I mean, granted, I would read all of them, but
yeah, I mean,
I thought it was great.
I agree. Fozzie's sitting. I'm sorry, you guys. Fozzie's sitting in my chair. He looks so sad right now.
Yeah, he looks like he's judging hardcore. At least I'm not sitting in his chair.
That's true.
Yeah, could be worse, Fozzie. It could be worse.
Yeah, but I don't know. I absolutely love Deathly Hallows.
Like, it was. I
can't wait. I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be forever before we get there. But when we dissect that book, it's going to be absolutely epic, and I absolutely can't wait.
Like you said, it just finalized everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, most everything, your questions were answered. And I'm like, new questions arose. Like, I want to know more about Elvis. Like, I want to know more about his life. And hopefully we're going to see that with Fantastic Beasts.
Yes,
you know?
Hopefully.
And that really, it's a good book. I mean, they're all good books.
Yeah.
Everybody has their favorite.
It's really hard to choose because, I mean, you think about the ones in the middle, like, Goblet of Fire, like, who usually chooses that book? I don't really haven't come across anybody who says that's their favorite, but think about how essential and amazing that book is. I mean, that's where I almost said Vader. Sorry, it's been all Star Wars lately. That's where, you know, Voldemort comes back.
Little baby Voldemort.
Little baby. Oh my gosh. Somebody in our group posted a picture of Wormtail dropping the baby Voldy into the cauldron. And it had like a Christmas verse on it about like the child. What did it say?
Oh, something.
It was like a song about baby Jesus and this tender child, so tender and mild or something like that.
I think so.
I was like, I almost threw up. It was so bad. It was bad, but it was great. Oh my gosh. That kills me. I guess also about these books is that I love is Rowling's ability to tie everything together and pull like Greek mythology in there. And everything has, everything has a meaning and a purpose, and nothing's done by accident. Everything's well thought out. Like, what can I say about her as a writer?
I think she's good at what she does, but this is coming from someone. I don't, read books like with a super critical eye. That's not ever been who I am. Like, I'm a person, I read books like for pleasure, where there's people that are more analytical in that sense. And I've have never been that way. So like I read her books where I think it's a great story where people are like, well, there's this, this, and this. And they're coming from like more of an English background, and I'm significantly more math and science. So I think she's a great writer. I like to read what she writes. Mm-hmm. I've read some of her other stuff and I enjoy her books.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sorry. I'm going to post these pictures of Fozzie because he's like epic right now.
He's like over it. He's like, can we talk about something else now?
He is. Fozzie, this is just the beginning, my friend. Okay. Favorite movie?
Star Wars, The Last Jedi. What would be my favorite movie?
This is hard.
I will say this. I've probably seen the first one
the most times.
But I would say the third. Although I will also say this, and I was thinking about this actually with Star Wars, because with the first, not the first one, but like
four.
No.
Oh,
With The Force Awakens versus The Last Jedi, with having different directors, like they changed directors in Harry Potter.
Chris Columbus did the first two.
And then I think Alfonso Cuarón, I don't know if I'm saying that correct, did the third.
I don't know.
And so for the third movie, like the whole like landscape was changed to use a different director. And I remember whenever it came out, I hated it.
Yeah.
Because everything was so different from
hilly.
Yes. So different from what I remembered from the first two movies.
Or how you pictured it in your head.
Yeah. How many books were out when the first movie came out?
Oh, God.
At least the first four. Well, so I guess that, like, reading it, I would have imagined my own stuff. But I just remember I was so angry that, yes, it was Alfonso Cuarón. Mm. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly. But, like, then after I kind of got over it and, you know, I still liked all the other things you see in the movie, because I like seeing, like, you meet Sirius, you meet Lupin, and you kind of get a little bit more of, like, Harry's, they talk more about his parents because they were friends with him, and you see all of that side, and Harry starts getting really sassy. Mm. And really, this is the first one without Voldemort in it.
Yeah.
Because you don't really see him.
No, you don't.
So, I like that a lot.
You don't really see him in two, either.
No, but, like, he's, yeah, like, he's a part of it.
Horcrux Voldy.
Yeah. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
I like the people in it. I like the actors. That's a one reason, like, for me when I go see a movie. Mm. For me. I go see it. If I really like an actor, I'm going to see movies that they're in. I'm going to see shows that they're in, like, because I really like them. Yeah. So even if people said the movie is crap or they don't like it or all this other stuff, one, I don't always trust other people's opinions.
True. Oh, my gosh, true.
And then if I really like someone, I want to see them in the stuff that they do because I've liked them in other things, you know? Mm-hmm. I like Gary Oldman. I like, who else is in it?
What's his face? That guy and the other dude.
Alan Rickman. I'm so bad at names, guys. I'm sorry.
You're bad at names. I don't know anybody.
Yeah. It's such a good, I really like it. And I like the storyline and, you know, it's one of my favorite books too. I like reading that. I mean, I like reading them all.
Yeah. It's a great book. I mean, we listen to us. We're like, that's a great book. Yeah, well, they're all great books. Yeah. I gotta go Sorcerer's Stone, I think. I mean, the other ones, here's my thing. I try and separate them, book, movie, whatever. Yeah. The other ones, I believe, they just let me down. And so I can't put them on my favorite list. But Sorcerer's Stone, definitely. I mean, when I walked into Diagon Alley for the first time in Orlando, it was exactly,
it's identical
like I saw in the movie. And I think that's one of the most emotional things that was running through my head, is that I was there. Like, Harry was here. This is where, you know, this is where it all happens. Like, and I think that Sorcerer's Stone did a perfect job at getting that right. Mm-hmm. And there was just so many things, like, I feel like it was the closest to the book, and it was the closest to the picture that I had in my head. And I think that's why I like it so much.
Yeah.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I agree.
And it was our first one. And I saw it with my friends and my mom. And it was great.
Saw it with my dad. I mean, and I like the other movies, but there's just some parts that, like in the fifth one, I loved the book. I was so excited to see. And we've talked about this. Because I know Megan, I think that's her favorite movie. And it's done beautifully. It's amazing. Like, Umbridge is a perfect Umbridge.
Perfect.
Hate her, but she's perfect.
And that's like what makes it so great.
Yes.
If you can get that amount of hate for a character in a movie.
Like, I would take you know 10 Voldemorts over her.
That's some great acting.
Yeah. And my biggest thing is, like, there was just so much left out. Like, where I wanted to see more of the Marauders. I wanted to see more of what you read in the book. And disappointed in that aspect. But, I mean, again, you know, you... when you are a person that reads a lot of books and then those books become movies, you know not to expect a lot. That's how I go in there.
You have to.
Low expectations. And then it can blow my mind, hopefully, is what I hope, you know?
Yeah.
And even, like, the last ones where they were, like, I think that they split for part one and two. They split it up, like, in a good place. But there's just some bits in, like, the very last movie, like, the whole Voldy bits thing. Hated it.
Yeah.
I just wish... there's something, like... especially movies you see now that...
well, there's a lot of things that I think that they did in that movie that were catering to the time.
Well, yes.
And you should agree. Make... honestly, I'm no director. I'm no writer. I mean, I've written stuff, but the world will never see it. But I don't think they will, at least. I don't even know if you knew that. What am I saying here? But, like, you should... It's like buying a ring.
Everybody's different.
Make it timeless.
Yes. Well, and here's
your
the
effects
thing.
Don't need to be 3D.
I was gonna say you Come see on. Movies nowadays where like I can't go see 3D movies because it makes me nauseous.
Yes.
And so
we all know that because I threw up on Forbidden Journey.
I will be watching a movie and I'll see an effect and I'll be like, well, they say like they're fighting and the debris comes at you. Well, they're making it so when you know. You're watching it in 3D, it really is flying at you.
Yeah.
And I don't need to see that because I'm not going to watch it. And like, so there's some aspects where, like, artistically and all that stuff, and like, for the production of a 3D movie, I can understand, but I'm not a consumer of that. But I mean, if you like it, that's great. I'm not judging people that do.
It just kills me that a franchise is this. Catered to that 3D time.
Well, everybody does. Every movie now, most movies now, especially action-y films, are going to cater to that.
How many people actually like 3D, though? I would love to hear from our listeners. Like, do you see movies in 3D? Because I don't.
Yeah, actually, I would love to know how many people, like, go see movies in 3D.
Yeah.
But I do know that the 3D now is different from 3D back when we were kids. We're like, it's more like you're immersed in it, where it's kind of, like, all around you. It's hard to explain versus, like... you know,
just coming straight at you.
Yeah, kind of like nauseating. Yeah. I think it's less nauseating and more like. I will say the last movie I think I saw in 3D was, Nightmare Before Christmas. They like re-released it a couple years ago.
Really?
But that movie wasn't made to be 3D, so it wasn't that.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still good.
It's
3D.
Like just the movie, which is a great movie. But
yes. Yeah. I remember seeing a movie in 3D because I got the glasses or whatever, but I can't remember for the life of me what it was. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't like it. I remember when Avatar came out, my dad went to go with see it with my uncle and someone else, and they were sitting in the back of the theater. He felt sick for hours.
Like, your dad did?
Yeah. And however many years ago Avatar came out, like 10?
Forever.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole park to it.
Yep.
Is there a fandom for that?
I don't know. There was supposed to be a second movie to come out before it opened, but that didn't happen. But they also, I think it took years for it to make.
I mean, I hear it's beautiful, but I was just like, I didn't know there was a demand for that.
I don't know. I'm not that I wouldn't go and see it, but I'm also not one beating down the door. Let's go to Avatar Land. I don't know what it's called. I'm sorry.
Avatar Land. I don't know what it's called.
Megan would know if she was here.
Dear Megan.
Sorry you missed us.
What's Avatar
Your invitation
Land
to our recording was in the mail.
It got lost. Oh, I snorted. All right, here we go.
Okay. Here I go. Here I go.
Here I go again. Favorite actor or actress? From the Harry Potter movies. Yes. I might add. I know exactly where I'm going with this.
Well, I'm going to say this first. I love to watch British television shows because I like the way, like, I like to listen to them speak. So I like watching.
She's a lush.
So I like watching all the shows, and I like watching movies and all that stuff from England. So it's so funny to see, like, I'm one of those people. Well, I'll be watching something. I'm like, they were in Harry Potter. They were in Harry Potter.
Yes,
they were in Harry
Potter. Yes, I do that too. Yeah. I do that too. Especially with one that I can think of right off the top of my head is Sleepy Hollow.
Yes, I think of it every time.
He's in Harry Potter.
Look at
that Dumbledore.
And like, even because we were just watching Love Actually, which is one of my favorite movies, hands down, and one of my favorite Christmas movies to watch. But Bill Nighy. Is in it.
That?
I don't know. Nighy.
I think you're going to say Bill Nye. The science guy.
But he is in Love Actually. He's the rock star. I cannot remember his name. And I sing the song that he sings all the time. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it on my toes.
Yeah.
Christmas is all around me.
Christmas.
Come on and let it snow. Anyway, so he's in Harry Potter. He plays Scrudgemere, correct? He plays the minister.
Scrimmager?
Yeah, what I call him?
Scrudgemere?
Oh my God. This is when you know I'm like my mother.
Scratch me up.
But he's also in Pirates of the Caribbean. He plays Davy Jones, I believe.
Shut up!
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, because I have the thing where I might not know the actor's name, but I can recognize their voice or see their face. And I will sit there, and especially if I'm in a movie theater, I will track in my brain where they, like, how do I know them? What do I know them from? And then, like,
usually, so you miss half the movie.
No, not all the time. But, like, I will figure it out, and, like, hopefully, like, I won't have to, like, I tried to play a game with myself. I'm like, can I figure it out without getting out my phone? Like, this happened when we were watching Rogue One, because the girl that plays Jyn Erso's mother, I'm like, why do I know her?
What's she in?
She was in a couple episodes of The Fall.
I don't know.
Which is another British television show with Jamie Dornan in it, and he is the guy that's in 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, I know who that is. Yeah. Haven't seen those movies. I don't really care for it. Shout out to our friends across the pond, though.
Yes. But anyways, going to my favorite actress, I would say, is...
Actress. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
A lady.
Maggie Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Did I take yours?
No. Okay. But...
she's just great. Like, I love her.
You can't get a better McGonagall.
Yeah. Like, she's perfect.
And she was... I think there's, like, a photo of her, like, reading the Daily Prophet while she's on set. And wasn't she going through chemo at that time?
She might have been.
God bless her.
Yeah.
What a tough chick.
Yeah. Yeah. I love her.
Like, I just
love
her.
She's such a great actress. And a fun fact, her son is an actor. And if you ever watched Black Sails, he's on that.
Black Sails. Nope.
It's a good show.
You guys, what I watch consists of The Office reruns, Gilmore Girls, Friends, and the occasional new show, but I've been waiting for New Girl to come back. And they're filming, but yeah. I'm like, give me some New Girl. It's the last season. I know. Sad.
Her son plays Captain Flint on Black Sails. Watch that if you'd like. It's a good show. Mm. They've got a lot of British people on it and other not British people.
I feel like Maggie Smith, though, she's like one of those people that she's just been in the industry for so long. I feel like she's been... this kind of sounds like an a-hole thing to say. It's not meant as an a-hole thing, but she's been old for, like, forever. Like, when you saw her in Secret Garden, like, she was old in Secret Garden. Like, she's just...
And you know what I just read that I thought was so funny? Like, she's... because you've heard me all talk about how I sometimes miss the fact that, you know, Gary Oldman is playing Sirius Black, and there's a year's difference between, like, who he... how old he is in real life and what the character he's playing. So sometimes I forget about how they're supposed to be only 21, like Harry's parents, when they're dead. She's right around like McGonagall's age. It's perfect. Like,
she's
a perfect McGonagall.
She's a perfect McGonagall. Yeah. And that's the thing that gets me is like, people are like, make a TV show, make a TV. Who are you going to have as all these epic characters?
Yeah.
They're most of them are still like, well, we do a lot of poor one outs, I guess, but, a few of them are still around. Like I'm not ready for a TV show. I'm not there yet. It's too soon.
I mean, I wouldn't say no if they were.
I mean, I'd watch it, but it's just like, I don't know. You'd have to do real good job. Yeah. But let me tell you, who plays Kylo Ren?
That is Adam Driver.
If Adam Driver is Snape.
Oh.
Yeah.
I also, if anyone's seen The Last Jedi, the movie, clearly.
Are you going to ruin it for people?
No, no. I was going to say, good. He looks so young. Like, I kept looking at him.
Oh, he looks good.
I'm like, he's like in his 30s, like maybe 30, 31. Like, he looks like he's a teenager. And I'm like, staring at him going, can you tell me what your skin routine is?
People say that about me all the time.
Yeah, but you are like.
I was being a snap, but it's neither here nor there.
No, he's 34.
He looks darn good.
He doesn't even look like he's 24.
Mm. His voice, though.
Yeah.
Arrgh. Oh. Yeah. All right. Well, let's dive into mine. It's an act of war. Can you guess?
Me.
Bing, 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 bing.
Is it Bud?
It's Bud. Who is it? Do you know? Can you guess?
I feel like I do, but I can't think of his name.
Really?
My foot's asleep.
No.
Is it the first Dumbledore?
No.
Oh, I don't know. Is it Alan Rickman?
It is. There's no better Snape.
Yeah. As much as we just were saying Adam Driver. Look, I mean,
He would do it well.
Yes.
But he's not Alan Rickman.
Correct. Where, like, as much as not that I don't like Snape, but I don't like Snape, but, like, Alan Rickman as Snape.
Aside from the character itself.
Yes. Like, he's Umbridge.
Yes. He's perfect. He's perfect. His drawl, and I think I read somewhere, I can't remember, where he wanted all those buttons on his coat. And someone mentioned, like, you know, how he must have been, like, buttoning all those buttons, like, getting into character and, like, really feeling like Snape. Like, I was just like, ooh, that's so good. And it actually makes me think of this, the Jim Carrey doc that I just watched on Netflix. It's like Me and Andy or something like this, where he...
Oh, how was that?
I gotta tell you, I've never appreciated actors more. Jim Carrey, you know, if you love him or hate him, that's whatever. But he is epic. He gets into that character and he really is that character. He said there were some times where he found it hard to be Jim because he was being Andy. And I was like, watch it.
Well, I wanted to, but the trailer itself, because I like to watch trailers before I watch some stuff just to decide. The trailer was almost too heavy for me, so I was like,
oh no,
I was
so
with
good.
Other people, so I was like, this is something I need to watch by myself.
Yeah, definitely watch it by yourself. It was so good, but I just feel like seeing Jim Carrey talk about, you know, becoming this character and how attached Alan Rickman felt to Snape and his relationship with Rowling. I just feel like he probably did some of those same things as he was, you know, preparing to, mm-hmm. to be Snape.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets me. But he was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he even will say, well, not anymore, but they would say, sorry, pour one out for Alan
Literally,
Rickman
pour
and
one
for
out.
Snape. So we'll do two.
Yep.
That, like, the kids were, like, afraid of him, like, on set. Like, and after a while, they finally got used to him being like, okay, this is just Alan. Like, he's just going to, like... He's a great guy outside of that.
Because you got to think about how hard you have to work to get into character. And then you don't want to break that, you know, to like joke around or goof off or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I've never acted before, but I got to figure that you want to like stay in your character. So you're like really authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he did it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree. I mean,
love it.
I think that I don't know if I have any issues with anyone that's in any of the Harry Potter movies. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think they've all played their parts really well. Actor versus, you know, Umbridge, who was played by Imelda Staunton. I don't know if that's how it's
said. Shout out to her because she's amazing.
Like,
amazing.
I can't even.
She cannot even, y'all.
Yeah. And then I was thinking about this because I watch a lot of shows. I like to watch... interviews and stuff, and talking about how, like, staying in character and everything, and Ralph Fiennes was talking about how he, like, as much as, like, you see him as Voldemort, you see him with no nose, that is prosthetic, because he has a rather large nose, and, mm-hmm. he was like, I knew I did well. He's like, when I was in all the makeup and like someone's kid was on set and immediately started crying when they looked
yes,
at him.
Yes.
I'm like, that's so good. Like, it's just perfect.
Yeah. I mean, he was a great Voldemort.
Yeah.
He was a great Voldemort. Yeah. I wish they would have written him better in the last one. But, you know,
yeah, I agree. I think it's funny. Did you ever watch the Lego Batman movie?
No.
So in the Lego Batman movie, they have Voldemort in it.
Do they
right?
really?
Yes. And he's voiced by Eddie Izzard, I believe is how you say his name.
Okay.
Who is hilarious. He's like a comedian and he does some other stuff. He's British. But they also had Ralph Fiennes voice someone, but he voiced, who is Batman's dude, not Robin, but who's the other guy? Who's the guy that lives his butler? What is his name?
Is it Alfred?
Yes. He voiced Alfred. So, like, they had Voldemort,
really funny.
But they didn't have him voice Voldemort.
Why wouldn't they do that?
It's funnier.
Oh, okay.
Like,
so it's like, obviously, like people movie, know that this is Voldemort, but it's not.
But funny. They kind of play, because, like, I don't know if Eddie Izzard is, like, androgynous or gay, but, like, he's a little feminine sometimes. Like, he's been, I've seen him wear makeup. I've seen him have, like.
I don't know who this guy is.
I'll pull up his picture, but so it's just, it's a good movie.
I should watch it. I should watch it. All right. We done with our actuals?
I think so.
All right. Favorite creatures?
My favorite creature
is creature.
No.
Oh.
I'm not a big fan of house elves. Like, they're just kind of, to me, they're kind of annoying. And at the same time, I don't want them to be
off of Dobby.
Yeah, but like, I don't want them to be like slaves or anything. I'm not for any of that, you know, free the house elf and everything, but
spiel.
Yeah. But like, especially cause we're now rereading Chamber of Secrets.
You're going to get a whole lot of house elf.
Dobby.
Oh, Dobby.
Dobby. Now I love how every time it turns into me talking about something I don't like.
That's true. This is about our favorites, not our.
But like reading when we were favorites. Going through the pull out that book, Fantastic Beasts. I want to look at them.
The You're making me get out of my chair.
Oh my god! You talk. You stall me.
Scars on foreheads and red hair on Weasleys.
Oh my gosh. This is what happens when just the two of us record.
These are a few of our favorite things. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. You and I.
I really like the golden snidget.
Hey-o! Because that thing is so cute.
It is.
And I want to protect it with my life.
So I had a cousin who... likes Harry Potter, but he also has some issues with it. And he was talking about Quidditch, and he's like, meh, blah, blah.
Quidditch.
He's like, I don't understand the whole point of that 150 points. And I was like,
well, if you listen to a Felix file.
I said the same thing. And then I also said, I'm like, or if you read the book. He's like, well, I read it. And it's still, I'm like, but I'm like, they won 150 galleons if they caught the snitch. I'm like, and now it's more humane where it's not an actual bird. It's a snitch. Well, snidget is what they caught.
A snidget. It's easy enough to understand. I apologize to anybody with that kind of accent. Is that Scottish?
Yeah, I believe he is Scottish.
I'm sorry, guys. That was terrible and I butchered it.
I also said, if you haven't gotten the Fantastic Beasts illustrated copy,
it's what are you doing beautiful. With your life?
It's a different artiste than the normal books. This is illustrated by Olivia...
Newton-John.
Lamont Gill.
Sorry. Every time I hear that name, I gotta say it.
I like a phoenix. A phoenix is a good...
I got a phoenix.
Yeah. I like the idea of a phoenix. I like rising from the ashes. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's a good... it would be metaphor. Good symbolism is what I'm thinking. Nifflers.
What's the symbology? Name that movie.
I don't know.
Boondock Saints.
I haven't seen that movie in like 10 years.
Well, we're having a date night.
Nope.
What?
I can't have date nights. I'm single.
What? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I can only date myself, apparently. But we're going to catch the Niffler.
We are.
oh, man. I like... this is an interesting... The lefty fold.
What is
also
that?
Also known as the living shroud. And so, like, it's this, like, very thin. It's like a shroud, essentially. And it, like, it's a black cloak. It resembles. And it, like, slithers up on people when they're sleeping. And the reason they found out about it, because this guy, like, was already awake. Like, he had been sleeping, and then he woke up. But he faked being asleep. So it, like, climbed, like, on top of him. And then he, like, caught it. And he was, like, wrote about it.
This is a creature.
Yeah. Like, it's fascinating.
Weird.
It was Flavius Belby in Papua New Guinea.
Look at the neasel.
Leprechauns.
Kelpie.
Do you have a favorite animal? I like the names of some of these.
Ooh, the imp. Yeah, I like hippogriffs.
Oh, yeah.
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 Hippogriffs are my fave right there.
Do you want me to read about the hippogriff?
You read my hippogriff. Look at that, they're in the nest. They live in nests.
They'll lay a single large and fragile egg which hatches within 24 hours.
Whoa. Okay. Wow. That's quite a growth process.
So, the hippogriff. Tis an animal. I'm going to read you guys the classification and what it means. It has three X's by it, which according to the Ministry of Magic, which they abbreviate to MOM, it says competent wizards should cope. And it says the hippogriff is native to Europe, though now found worldwide. It has the head of a giant eagle and the body of a horse. It can be tamed, though this should be attempted only by experts. Mm. Eye contact should be maintained when approaching a hippogriff. Bowing shows good intentions. If the hippogriff returns the greeting, it is safe to draw closer. The hippogriff burrows for insects, but will also eat birds and small mammals. Breeding hippogriffs build nests upon the ground into which they will lay a single large and fragile egg, which hatches within 24 hours. The fledgling hippogriff should be ready to fly within a week, though it will be a matter of months before it is able to accompany its parents on longer journeys.
Goodness.
The little picture is adorable. You read that very
well.
I sometimes can read.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it's a...
Okay, so from now on, you can't say, I can't read. You're supposed to say, I can sometimes read.
I can sometimes read. I will say, I like
the griffin, too, back there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's yeah, a that's good pretty picture. Boss.
Yeah, I agree.
I like it.
I always think when I see Grindelwald, how in... Goblet of Fire, mm-hmm. when they come out of the water, and mm-hmm. she's like, Flaherty, get past the Grindelwald.
The Grindelwald.
And like the way she says it, it's like, yeah, speak more.
Speak more.
Go Hermione.
Don't they have like fragile fingers? Grindelwalds.
Grindelwalds. I will read you.
Or the brittle fingers, they're described as.
It says,
like
it's a horned, pale green water demon. Grindelwald is found. Yeah, it says, is found in lakes throughout Britain and Ireland. It feeds on small fish and is aggressive towards wizards and muggles alike, though mer people have been known to domesticate it. The Grindelwald has very long fingers, which though they exert a powerful grip, are easy to break.
Yeah. See, I remembered stuff.
Yeah. I like some of the dragons in this, too.
Mm-hmm. What is that thing?
That's a gnome.
That's the awful. Gnome, oh, that's awful. Look at its butt cheeks.
Yeah. It's a common garden pest.
Hey-o.
Found throughout Northern Europe. Nope. It says, yeah, it does. Yeah. Northern Europe and North America. It may reach a foot in height with a disproportionately large head and hard, bony feet. The gnome can be expelled from the garden by swinging it in circles until dizzy, then dropping it over the garden wall. Alternatively, a jarvie may be used, though many wizards nowadays find this method of gnome control too brutal. I don't know what a jarvie is.
Jarvie?
Yeah, J-A-R-V-E-Y. I will always say, like, when I read about, like, this and I'm spinning gnomes, I immediately think of the Weasleys.
Yeah, getting them out of the garden.
Yeah, like, I think it'd be hilarious to watch them.
Is this what you're blue or black?
It's blue.
Okay.
I like the picture of the ghoul in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very large and in charge.
And in pajamas.
And, like, I think, like, this for me helps, because the ghoul hiding in the attic, well, not hiding, but living in the Weasley's attic, and they faked it to look like Ron.
Yeah.
Like, this picture helps me think, like, oh, it could actually work because he looks like a human.
Yeah, I guess when I thought of ghoul before, I thought of, like, the green guy from,
Yeah.
What's it? What am I saying?
Are you thinking of Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I imagine. I'm like,
is that Green Guy from that?
I don't know if I'm thinking maybe Flubber. Is that what you're thinking?
No, that's not what I'm thinking.
Timmy's going to look it up.
Flubber.
Let's look it up.
Shout out to Flubber. Green Guy.
Oh my gosh. I like all of the dragons. I think dragons are pretty cool.
What was the movie called again? Oh my gosh, my brain is garbage. Ghostbusters.
The Ukrainian Iron Belly is very large. It's the largest breed. I like it because it's on 4 pages.
I was right.
Okay, I didn't say you
were. Slimer!
That's what it's called, yep.
Good old Slimer.
I like the story behind the is it the Demi Guys?
Demi Guys, yeah.
Were they like mated?
I don't know.
It was maybe not them, someone. Oh, you know who it was?
Who was it? Who's getting down and dirty?
No, they like brought them over. Hold on, let me find it. The Hide Behind, I believe. The Hide Behind is an accidentally created species, which was imported to North America by old world crook Phineas Fletcher. Fletcher, a trader in banned artifacts and creatures, had intended to import the trafficked demiguys into New York with the aim... What?
Do you think we're going to see this guy?
We might. It says, with the aim of manufacturing invisibility cloaks. I thought you were hitting me because I swear, and I was like, I didn't. I'm just reading.
Oh, no. I was thinking maybe we'll see him in Fantastic Beasts.
It says, the demiguys escaped on a board ship and bred with a stowaway ghoul. Their resultant offspring took off into Massachusetts forest when Phineas's ship docked, and their descendants continue to infest the region today. The Hide Behind is nocturnal and has the power of invisibility. Those who have seen it describe a tall, silver-haired creature, something like a skinny bear. Its preferred prey is humans, which magizoologists speculate is the result of the cruelty with which Phineas Fletcher has known to treat the unfortunate creatures in his power.
Whoa, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
And wait, what forest?
It says the Massachusetts forest.
Massachusetts.
Their classification is 4Xs, which is dangerous, requires specialist knowledge, skilled wizard may handle.
What's a 5X? Creature's a 5?
I'm sure some...
It's like a dragon or something like this?
Well, let's look at the dragons. None of these have an answer for me. Mm. Ah, yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
The dragon has a 5X classification. It says known wizard killer, impossible to train or domesticate.
Wait, why does it say... Okay, why is that a 5? Which I get. But why is the other one only a 4 known wizard killer? That other one likes humans.
What's on a wizard killer?
Wizards are humans.
I don't know, man. I don't
know. Come on, people.
Oh, here's a Darby.
Oh my gosh. It looks like an otter.
The Jarvie is found in Britain, Ireland, and North America. It resembles an overgrown ferret in most respects, except for the fact that it can talk. How cool would that be?
Shut your face.
True conversation, however, is beyond the wit of the Jarvie, which tends to confine itself to short and often rude phrases in almost every, almost constant stream. Jarvies live mostly below ground, where they pursue gnomes, though they will also eat moles, rats, and voles.
I hope they curse.
They probably do.
I hope they curse like sailors.
If one was living in my garden, they'd probably be cursing. But then I could like chase them with my vole because that's my Patronus.
You could.
Come get this.
They do like to eat that, though.
Yeah.
Oh, voles.
Yeah.
What's a hickey punk?
Did we see that?
I don't know. I just remembered it from Hermione.
Hermione?
Hermione?
Hermione.
Hermione.
It's a hippocampus. So I don't think I pronounced that correct. What did you call it?
Isn't it called a hickey punk?
There's nothing. There's no...
Red, because she's like, we've just been learning about red caps and hickey punks or something like this.
Yeah.
Is that a movie-ism?
Could be.
Ah!
Could be.
Not in there. This is ABC order, friends.
Manticore, which reminds me if anyone's ever seen... I think it was in True Blood they were talking about a manticore. Which is a highly dangerous Greek beast with the head of a man, the body of a lion, and the tail of a scorpion. As dangerous as the chimerian and as rare as the manticore is reputed Is that correct? To croon softly as it devours its prey.
Oh.
How terrifying would that
That's
be?
Creepy.
Let me sing to you softly when I kill you. Manticore skins repels almost all known charms, and the sting causes instant death. All right.
Well, at least you're dead. You don't have to listen to it.
Yeah. Mer people. They were different than, I mean, but I guess, like, you're so, you're, when you see mer people, like, in Harry Potter, you think you're going to get, like, these beautiful, like, aerial-ish type creatures. Like, you think.
I always thought I was going to see seashells on.
Yeah, but know. It was completely different. And even, like, these pictures are beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they even have, like, the houses and stuff.
Yeah, it was interesting that they, well, no, well, wait. The one mermaid in the bathroom, she was cute. But the ones in the lake were like...
Well, yeah. Well, she's like just a like stained glass mirror.
Yeah, but window. Is she based on a real person?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so do we ever land on your favorite?
I think I like the golden snitchet.
Okay. Think that's favorite. You're right. I'm sorry.
I can read about it if you'd like.
Do it to it. Did you just lick your finger to touch my book?
I'm sorry. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, well, you're awful.
This just makes me want to go back and read these all again.
The buff skein.
So cute.
Is that its tongue?
It says, from time to time, a very long, thin, pink tongue will emerge from the depths of the puff skein and snake through the house searching for food.
I hope you can hear you.
Yeah.
Not very close to your mic.
I'm not terribly far away from it. I'm loud.
Are you?
I feel like I'm a loud person. I get told that all the time.
Hmm. Oh, Bow Truckles.
Bow Truckles.
There's so many good ones, you guys. It's hard to choose, but I really like
it. I just think the golden snidget is really cute.
It is really cute.
And it flies really far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fast. But what? There's, like, a lot of cool animals.
What would you take to Hogwarts?
If I could? Well, if we're only allowed to take a frog, an owl, or a cat, I'd take an owl.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to be a cute owl.
Yeah.
And I want to train it to sing to me.
Mm.
I don't even think you can do that, but...
Wait, but why was Ron allowed to have scabbers?
I don't know. Maybe you're allowed to have rats. None of these things are something. And he was allowed to have a toad.
Well, it is toads. You said frogs, but it's not really frogs. It's toads.
Yeah.
I didn't want to correct you to be that kind of person, but...
I mean,
I am now.
You know what I mean? I almost did it again.
Yeah, I saw you.
Ooh, that looks cool. A Snallygaster.
That looks like a,
Weird. Possesses fangs of serrated steel with which it slices through its prey.
Gross.
It's gotta be painful.
Mm.
Ooh, a Snidget. This is what it says about the golden Snidget. Mom says that the classification is 4Xs, so it's dangerous, requires specialist knowledge and skill that wizard may handle. And it says the golden snidget is an extremely rare protected species of bird, completely round with a very long, thin beak and glistening, jewel-like red eyes. The golden snidget is an extremely fast flyer that can change direction with uncanny speed and skill, owing to the rotation joints of its wings. The golden snitchet's feathers and eyes are so highly prized that it was at one time in danger of being hunted to extinction by wizards.
Yep.
The danger was recognized in time and the species protected, the most notable factor being the substitution of the golden snitch for the snidget in the game of Quidditch. Snidget sanctuaries exist worldwide. And then it says, with the rating of the 4Xs, it says, not because it is dangerous, but because severe penalties are attached to its capture or injury.
I wondered why it was that high. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it says, anyone interested in the role played by the golden snidget in the development of the game of Quidditch is advised to consult Quidditch Through the Ages by Kenilworthy Wisp.
Yep.
Which, we went through all of that. Ooh, the Sphinx is really cool, too.
Yes.
But we went through talking about the golden snidget.
So if you're not a patron,
yeah,
what have you been doing?
We talked about that in our Quidditch Throughout the Ages. Unicorns are cool too.
Yeah, there's too many.
Yeah,
there's too many to choose. And now Now I'm like,
I also really like Fang. Like,
yeah,
he's a cool dwarg.
I love dwargs.
Dwarg.
Ah, the dwargs.
I'm very much a dwarg person.
Yes, dogs.
Not that cats aren't cool too, but. Werewolves are an interesting thing.
Yes.
Wampus cat. That's my...
that's your guy?
Yeah, that's my thing in...
I'm a horned serpent.
In whatever it's called.
I'm a snake.
Ooh, a wampus cat is 5 X's.
Rear.
Literally.
Does that have extra legs?
No.
Yes.
Weird. Want me to read about the wampus cat?
Breed me the wampus.
Somewhat resembling the mundane mountain lion or cougar in size and appearance, the wampus cat is native to Appalachia. Ooh. It can walk on its hind legs, outrun arrows, and its yellow eyes are reputed to have the power of both hypnosis and legilimens.
What?
Choking.
On nothing.
Pretty much. The Cherokee have most extensively studied the wampus cat, with whom they share their native region, and only they have ever succeeded in procuring wampus cat hair for use as a wand core. In 1832, wizard Abel Treetops of the Cincinnati claimed to have patented. See, we said it could read, and now this happens. Claimed to have patented a method of taming wampus cats for use as guards over wizarding houses.
Nice.
Treetops was exposed as a fraud when Makuza raided his home and found him putting engorgement charms on Neasels. Ah! One of the houses of the North American Wizarding School, Ilvermorny, is named after the wampus cat. And that is the house I am in.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it mentioned the Cherokee?
Yes.
So you know how... I wonder if, like, Native Americans were, like if they were all wizards and witches. Because I know they're very spiritual.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thought.
I like it.
I like that Yeti is in here as well.
Dude.
Also known as Bigfoot, the abominable snowman.
I love it. I want to be a Yeti. I wish that was my Patronus.
That would be a cool Patronus.
That would be an amazing Patronus.
But it'd be funny because you're not tall and
like
he is. That'd be perfect.
Like, what's your Patronus? A Yeti. Ain't
what's
no
your
thing.
Patronus? Vol. Do you want to talk about what you're excited about for us coming up? Like, what are you excited about? Like,
about the podcast? It?
Yeah, with Chamber of Secrets, because we're going to be starting.
You know what I think I want to learn more about? I want to learn more about the split of the the founders, and more, if we can learn more about the Chamber. I don't know if there's, a whole lot of information on that, but, and learning more about, like, basilisks and, I think that's
about it. Ooh, a basilisk might be in here. Well, we could probably save that for the actual podcast. Not that this isn't the actual podcast, but
we're gonna save it.
But yeah, I think I agree with you. Like, thinking about, and I don't know how much information there is about the founders and like how much did they know about the Chamber of Secrets.
The Chamber, yeah. Also, I think just seeing the foundation that this book's gonna lay for. Horcruxes.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool. I love to see the way that we tie the earlier books in throughout. So that's one of the things I'm excited about.
Yeah.
It is in here, but we're going to save it.
It's also known as the King of the Serpents. Pretty cool.
Sweepins. All right.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited what do you, to start it.
Yeah. Is that what you're excited for too?
I think that's a good point to add. I like to delve deep because there's new things I learn every time we talk about everything and... Mm-hmm. Get back into our routine of, talking about Harry Potter. Like the books.
Who?
I don't know.
Who's that?
I don't know who he is.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to do some research.
I just heard his name for the first time today.
We'll get back to you on that. All right. So we're rolling in right into our social media. So if you haven't already, you need to join our Facebook group for discussions on each of the episodes and just any kind of Harry Potter shenanigans. We get all kinds of stuff posted on there. I've been doing my 12 days of socks. That'll be pretty much done when this episode airs. But, if you've enjoyed me opening socks, great. No, I've been having fun with it. But you're going to have to answer 3 super hard questions. Just kidding. You have to answer 3 questions and they're pretty, basic questions for anybody who's seen or read Potter. If you don't answer them, I'm gonna send it right back to you until you do answer them.
Yeah, I won't. I don't.
I'm not gonna add you because you might be a bot. So I'm not gonna add any bots. So it's a great community. We love talking with everyone. So you can find us on Facebook where we're most active. Like our page to get all the latest info. We're sharing a lot about Fantastic Beasts and what's coming up. Anything that Rowling does really on Twitter, we'll be sharing. So get all your latest Harry Potter info from our Facebook page. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flip Cast on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. So you can also support us on Patreon, and Patreon helps us provide better content more often. You'll get extra stuff from us by being a patron. So you can go to www.patreon.com/switchflickcast and you can support your favorite Potter podcast. And you can also follow your Swish and Flick hosts on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Megan at Meg's Mouse Tews. It's been a while since I've said that. It's been great. So that's Meg's Mouse Tails, T-A-L-E-S. You can follow Sarah at O'Malley, and that's O with three H's. And then you can find Katie at Skaterade7. And then you can find me, Tiffany, on the Twitter at TiffSwish_Flick. You can also find me on Box Trick, which is an all video game podcast. I do that with my friend Matt from Second Breakfast. He's also on a little Star Wars podcast called Rebel Watch. It's a little self-promoting plug at the end there.
Getting all the plugs in.
I'm just trying to help these guys out. You know, if you like old school video games, even some new ones, we've been talking about Zelda, Super Mario, Pokemon, you know, all the good stuff. And that's on Box Trick. You can find us on Podbean and iTunes.
Well, check out their other ones too. Second Breakfast. Rebel Watch.
Yeah, Second Breakfast does a lot of like pop culture stuff, Dragon Ball Z,
Game of Thrones, Stranger Things,
food.
Yeah,
food reviews. It's a mishmash of just awesomeness.
Yeah,
love those guys. Yeah. And then Rebel Watch. I know we have a lot of listeners who are also Star Wars fans. So if you you need some counseling on your thoughts about The Last Jedi, go listen to Rebel Watch. They did two episodes. One is an initial reaction episode, which is long, but it's really good. Listened. It's so good.
I wanted to. My whole plan was because they watched it that Thursday, and so they recorded. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to watch the movie Friday and then listen to it. But then I watched the movie, and I decided I need to see the movie again before I listen to talk to anybody else about it.
Yeah. I get that.
So we're going to go see it. Actually, we're going to see it today on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then I'll listen to them.
Yep. I'm about halfway through their second one, in defense of The Last Jedi.
Yeah. But they're good guys. Go listen to
them. Full disclosure, I loved it. So,
yeah.
It is what it is.
I agree. Okay. I can say that I cried probably through half of it.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and also, you can call us and leave us a voicemail.
Please leave us voicemails. We love them.
We do listen to all of them. So the phone number is 1-330-552-7043. And if you're an international caller, you have to put the 1 in front of it for sure.
Okay.
But call us, leave us voicemails. We love to listen to them.
We do.
And I don't know.
Yeah, leave us some good iTunes ratings there. Yeah. Some nice comments. We like that.
And if you ever had a bad Star Wars tattoo, let us know.
Send us your tattoos.
It's just going to be now a funny story.
BB1.5, guys.
BB1.5.
Always with us forever.
Yeah.
All right. So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the Muggles get you down.
Or do. Do or do not. There is no try.
There is no try.
Amazing. Just my voice.
Almost ate a whole bag of carrots together.
That's what friends do.
What episode is this?
22. I'm feeling like 22. How does it, Taylor?
I don't know about you,
but I'm feeling 22. It's Christmas Eve and it's Sunday. You know what they say about Sundays?
They are not Mondays.
No post on Sundays. No blasted letters today. No, sir.
Not one single bloody letter. Not one.
Letter! She's going to put that in the end. I hope she does.
fun.
Should we sing a song about Sarah and Tiffany, our best friends? They're much better than Megan and Kate.
You're terrible.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.